Let's turn now to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14, we'll read beginning in verse 24, and we'll read through the end of chapter 16. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 24 through 16:14. So we'll start in Isaiah 14, verse 24. These are the words of the Lord. The Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, "Surely just as I have intended, so it has happened. And just as I have planned, so it will stand, to break Assyria in my land. And I will trample him on my mountains. Then his yoke will be removed from them, and his burden removed from their shoulder. This is the plan devised against the whole earth, and this is the hand that is stretched out against all the nations. For the Lord of hosts has planned, and who can frustrate it? And as for his stretched out hand, who can turn it back?" In the year that King Ahaz died, this oracle came: "Do not rejoice, O Philistia, all of you, because the rod that struck you is broken. For from the serpent's roots a viper will come out, and its fruit will be a flying serpent. Those who are most helpless will eat, and the needy will lie down in security. I will destroy your root with famine, and it will kill off your survivors. Wail, O gates, cry, O city. Melt away, O Philistia, all of you. For smoke comes from the north, and there is no straggler in his ranks. How then will one answer the messengers of the nation? That the Lord has founded Zion, and the afflicted of his people will seek refuge in it." The oracle concerning Moab: "Surely, and a night Ar of Moab is devastated and ruined. Surely, and a night Ker of Moab is devastated and ruined. They have gone up to the temple and to Dibon, even to the high places, to weep. Moab wails over Nebo and Medeba. Everyone's head is bald, and every beard is cut off. In their streets they have girded themselves with sackcloth, on their housetops and in their squares. Everyone is wailing, dissolved in tears. Heshbon and Eleala also cry out. Their voice is heard all the way to Jahaz. Therefore the armed men of Moab cry aloud. His soul trembles within him. My heart cries out for Moab. His fugitives are as far as Zoar and Eglath Selishah. For they go up the ascent of Luhith weeping. Surely on the road to Arnoim, they raise a cry of distress over their ruin. For the waters of Nimrim are desolate. Surely the grass is withered, the tender grass died out, there is no green thing. Therefore the abundance which they have acquired and stored up, they carry off over the brook of Arabim. For the cry of distress has gone around the territory of Moab, its wail goes as far as Eglaim, and it's wailing even to Be'er Elim. For the waters of Dimon are full of blood. Surely I will bring added woes upon Dimon, a lion upon the fugitives of Moab and upon the remnant of the land. Send a tribute lamb to the ruler of the land from Selah by way of the wilderness to the mountain of the daughter of Zion. Then, like fleeing birds or scattered nestlings, the daughters of Moab will be at the fords of the Arnon. Give us advice, make a decision. Cast your shadow like night at high noon. Hide the outcasts, do not betray the fugitive. Let the outcasts of Moab stay with you. Be a hiding place to them from the destroyer. For the extortioner has come to an end, destruction has ceased. Oppressors have completely disappeared from the land. A throne will even be established in loving kindness, and a judge will sit on it in faithfulness in the tent of David. Moreover, he will seek justice and be prompt in righteousness. We have heard of the pride of Moab, an excessive pride. even of his arrogance, pride, and fury. His idle boasts are false. Therefore Moab will wail. Everyone of Moab will wail. He will moan for the raisin cakes of Kir-Hareseth, as those who are utterly stricken. For the fields of Heshbon have withered, the vines of Sibmah as well. The lords of the nations have trampled down its choice clusters, which reached as far as Jazer and wandered to the deserts. Its tendrils spread themselves out and passed over the sea. Therefore I will weep bitterly for Jazer, for the vine of Sibmah. I will drench you with my tears, O Heshbon and Elalah, for the shouting over your summer fruits and your harvest has fallen away. Gladness and joy are taken away from the fruitful field. In the vineyards also there will be no cries of joy or jubilant shouting. No treader treads out wine in the presses. For I have made the shouting to cease. Therefore my heart intones like a harp of Moab, and in my inward feelings for Kir-Hareseth. So it will come about when Moab presents himself, when he wearies himself upon his high place and comes to his sanctuary to pray, that he will not prevail. This is the word which the Lord spoke earlier concerning Moab. But now the Lord speaks, saying, within 3 years, as a hired man would count them, the glory of Moab will be degraded along with it, all his great population, and his remnant will be very small and impotent. Thus far in the word of the Lord. So as we continue in chapter 14 and then through chapter 16, we're hearing again, continuing to hear the judgments of the Lord upon the nations. Israel will be judged, Judah will be judged, but also the nations. And we heard last Lord's Day of Babylon being brought under the judgment of God, but now in this section, we see the promised judgment at some time in the future of Assyria, Philistia, and Moab. So chapter 14, verses 24 to 27 is the judgment promised against Assyria. You see, the judgment is not a surprise to God, for the Lord of hosts, it says, verse 27, planned it. And verse 24, he promised it. The Psalms show us that he owns all things. He imposes his will on all things and no one can stop him. Here is Assyria. They will be crushed and it is the Lord who will do it. God's people may suffer for a time, but eventually the Lord will crush Assyria when the discipline of his people is over. The next to be judged is Philistia. The same chapter, 14, verses 28 to 32. It says the time this will happen, it says in the year King Ahaz died, which is 715 B.C., Philistia will be judged. Ahaz, who it says dies in that year, Ahaz, despite the warnings of the Lord through Isaiah, had sought an alliance with Assyria. And so when the forces of Pekah and Rezin attacked Judah, Ahaz caved. He sought the help not of Yahweh, but of Assyria. This brought political and religious compromise. Remember that Ahaz sacrificed his son, brought an Assyrian type worship and practiced divination. So when Ahaz died, Judah was weak. Assyria being busy elsewhere, Philistia and the Edomites took advantage. And Judah clung to Philistia for help so that they would not be destroyed. And so the Lord judged Philistia through Assyria. They will melt away, it says, within a matter of a few years from this prophecy. Further, Babylon will be used to judge Philistia later in 605 B.C. In all this, Judah is being called to trust the Lord. Stop trusting the nations. Stop trusting them to defend you. But trust in Yahweh. You look at chapter 14, verse 30. Those who are most helpless will eat, and the needy will lie down in security. I will destroy your root with famine, and it will kill off your survivors. Verse 32, how then will one answer the messengers of the nation that the Lord has founded Zion, and the afflicted of his people will seek refuge in it, where the Lord is? And so, beloved, remember this. Alliances made with unbelief, with the world, will be sure to fail. Only learning upon God can we be sure of safety. And the rest of the section that we've read, chapter 15 and chapter 16, is about the judgment of Moab. Chapter 15 covers the total destruction of Moab, and then chapter 16 gives some of the causes of why Moab is judged. Again, within a short time of this prophecy, Isaiah's words are fulfilled. Assyria came into Moab and destroyed city after city. And the cause of this fall, chapter 16, verse 6, is pride. Jeremiah prophesies the same thing in chapter 48 of his book. In verse 12 of chapter 16, Moab's prayers are to no avail. They pray. People of the world pray. Moab prays. But they are to no avail because they do not pray to Yahweh. And even if they did pray to Yahweh, they'd have no mediator, do they? Chapter 16, verse 5 reminds us that a king will come about after David. The Messiah, Jesus, will be king. And he will judge in righteousness. But yet the very mention of the promise of coming judgment to Moab is also a promise of hope for the Moabites and for any of us who would come to the Lord in faith. Same promise that was to Ruth, the Moabitess. It's a message that stands true today. Promise stands on the covenant faithfulness of the Lord. Verse 5, a judge will sit on it in faithfulness in the tent of David. The word faithfulness and covenant mercy and faithfulness. As the Lord uses the nations to judge His people, He also keeps the power in check. The power that has been given to them by Him. Though they wreak havoc, it is only for a time. But in this, the call of God's people is what? To keep yourselves free from the entanglements of the world. To not compromise on the Word of God. Because those who defy the Lord, those who trust in those nations or in others in the world and things that are not the Lord, they will be judged like Judah and Israel were judged. And if you align yourself with those nations, with the people of the world, with things that are not the Lord, those too will be judged and be done away with. Those who defy the Lord, nothing but grief awaits them. But Yahweh, having entered into a covenant to save sinners who deserve no mercy, mercy is shown due to His faithfulness to His promises. So, how can you accept the judgments of Yahweh? By turning to Christ for mercy. Let's pray. Our great God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, You are great. You are the Creator of the heavens and the earth. Your name is magnified above all. You deserve all praise, all worship. And yet, we ourselves often do not give it. We fail. We often boast in ourselves or in others. On the things of this world and creation, and not in the Creator, who is blessed forever. And Father, we ask that You would turn our hearts unto You, that we would see Your glory, that we would be used as instruments to magnify Your name, to glorify You, even with our good works before those of this world. And You would be faithful to Your promise that such that would see our good works would glorify the Father in heaven. Lord, save Your people. Bring them out of the darkness of this world and bring them into the marvelous light in your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, we do stand in awe of you, for you're a great God. Here you are showing yourself to be again the holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. And that sin cannot be in your presence. That rebellion against you cannot stand. It must be dealt with. And the just punishment must come. Not only upon those of the world, but even amongst your people. And so, Lord, though we would all tremble to pray such a thing, we ask that you would discipline us. Discipline us that we would be more righteous and more holy. That we would trust in you more. That you would train us up in righteousness. So Jesus' name would be given more glory. Father, cause us to tremble before you, that which is often absent from us. Cause us to take you more seriously as we see the promises of these judgments to come. We know these nations have been destroyed and judged. And yet there will come a time when they and all the world will be destroyed, and all things in it. Even as we see judgments today, it looks forward to that time when the great judgment awaits all. And so, Lord, as we see things in the world, judgments come, use those things to cause us to tremble more before your throne. And yet cause us to stand in awe, because you're a God who, though we do not deserve mercy, and we would be deserving of receiving the name, no mercy. And yet, you're the God who shows mercy to us, your people, your elect, who you chose before the foundation of the world. Undeserving sinners, such as we are, you showered us with your grace and mercy, and you extend that because you're the God of mercy and faithfulness, and steadfast love to thousands of generations of those who love you and keep your commandments. Lord, again, we ask that you would turn our hearts from sin and turn them unto you by your Spirit, strengthening us for the task. And to live in this world as becomes a follower of Jesus Christ. That we would walk in the light as he is in the light. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.